Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry for the little delay. My name is Jacob Czakarewski. I will be presenting my work about estimating functions on social graphs, where the function represents the preferences of the social network members for a specific multimedia content. That is, how much the social network members dislike or like that particular content item. I will start with a little bit of background and motivation. Today we are aware that social networking is omnipresent on the web, whether we share photos, engage ourselves in creating user-generated content, or discover our old high school friends. We tend to carry out all these activities through the social networking sites that we attend. Frequently, as part of these activities, we express our opinion of certain multimedia item. For example, we may say how much we like a certain picture that was posted there, or we may score a specific movie. And in addition, we tend to also leave such information as part of our user profile. Now, as you can imagine, there is a range of applications that can profit from knowing these user preferences. And for instance, when we do online shopping, for smart homes, for entertainment, targeted advertising, you name it. Also, there is a range of applications, information retrieval and search, data mining, and so forth. Furthermore, the data networks could also profit from knowing this information. And in addition, for collaborative tasks, knowing which person prefers different types of tasks could also be exploited. So the high level abstraction of the problem that we look at is that of data recovery, where we have a function associated with a small subset of the nodes telling us how much these nodes like a specific video, for example. And then we are interested in determining how much the other nodes actually like or dislike this this specific item. And what we tend to exploit here is the phenomenon called homophily, which means that we tend to associate or congregate with similar others. So here's the roadmap for the rest of the talk. We are considering a social graph, which can, in addition, carry out a set of weights describing the affinities between the users, how much we are similar or dissimilar with our specific neighbors within the social network. And then, as I mentioned, we will assume that we know this preference for a small subset of nodes. Now, to estimate the missing preferences, we will design two algorithms. One is a decentralized one and is based on message passing, and it comprises two steps, as people are familiar with decentralized algorithms. The first one is we take a local expectation within our own neighborhood, and then we exchange the information that is computed with our neighbors. And then we will also present an algorithm that lies in the class of sparse reconstruction, where, contrary to conventional sparse reconstruction, where we tend to, constrain the form of the solution with some regularization term. Now we will have like multiple regularization terms, both on the transform of the signal as well as in the signal domain, which are described with these two summations. And then we will solve that problem with the method of alternating the direction of multipliers. With respect to related work, there has been recent interest in the computer science community of determining these user preferences. And from the few works that have appeared so far, I cited two representative ones here, where the authors employ a network autocorrelation model that describes the correlation in user preferences between any two members of the network. And then the authors also compute a certain set of features from the data that, together with a machine algorithm in this network autocorrelation model, tries to compute the estimated the missing preference. I will briefly show a comparison with these works towards the end and talk about the performance differences. Another related direction of work is that on opinion mining and sentiment analysis. which also lies in the computer science community. And our algorithms lie within the broader field of graphical models, the decentralized algorithm that I will present. And I also cited one reference here on sparse reconstruction. Okay. So with respect to the first algorithm, as I mentioned, it comprises two steps, where the node starts from an initial estimate. It could be an informed guess and so forth. And then the nodes compute a normalized expectation using this weighted sum from the previous estimates of their neighbors. So it's quite straightforward. And as you will see, it actually works quite well. To analyze the performance of an algorithm, we use Laplacian of the graph, and the analysis goes as follows: we compute the Laplacian of the matrix as a difference between this matrix D and A, where A represents the weighted adjacency matrix of the social graph, and D is simply a diagonal matrix where each diagonal entry represents the sum of the vertex degrees of each node. And I will need to be brief on this, but from spectral graph theory, we know that there will be a set of eigenvalues associated with this Laplacian matrix. And we studied the convergence of our algorithm by an equivalent Markov chain that runs on the graph, and whose transition matrix is given with this expression. And it could be shown that, this transition matrix is related to the Laplacian of the graph. So that we could study the approximation error when we try to estimate the missing values using this algorithm, using this analysis, where at each iteration k, we could show that the error, the total variation error of the approximation, is related to the eigenvalues of the Laplacian matrix using this term. And with some work, we could show that this error is bounded by this exponential term, times this ratio of the maximum versus the minimum node degree of the graph, where this lambda subscript e could be either the second smallest eigenvalue or be related to the largest eigenvalue of the Laplacian matrix. Or as an alternative, but I will not go in detail here, we could show convergence analysis of this method using the power method, which is used to iteratively compute an eigendecomposition of a matrix. Now, just an illustration of how does this work in terms of convergence rate. I will show you here two graphs which illustrate the convergence of the algorithm as a function of the density of the matrix, that is as a function of number of edges. And as a criterion of convergence, we have the total variation distance on the x-axis. And we could show that we observe the same slope as a function of this eigenvalue, lambda sub e, of the Lagrangian. And I here show two graphs which are obtained by using a different threshold value at which point the algorithm stops computing. In other words, when the total variation distance is below 10 to the minus 3, for example, we stop, and then we see if this threshold is increased, then we need more iterations to converge. I omitted to mention, I'm sorry, that we are using small world graphs, which are typically encountered in examples of social networks. Another interesting graph is how do we do with respect to running the same algorithm on a random graph. And it's interesting to show that when the graph is not so dense on the beginning, we actually underperform in terms of convergence speed. And that is because small world graphs exhibit a different a non-uniform distribution of the node degree, so that there is a small, large, on the beginning we have a number of nodes that have like a small number of neighbors, and then they actually affect the convergence of the algorithm, not only for them, but for their neighbors as well. Now as the edge density increases, then things settle down, so we converge almost as fast as running the algorithm on a random graph. Now with respect to sparse reconstruction, As I mentioned, conventionally, when you try to estimate a function where this function has only a small number of values that we know of, we tend to put some regularization constraint on the solution to make life easier. Now, this approach doesn't take into account that sometimes the solution can require additional number of constraints. For instance, here we would require this content preferences sum up to one. And to resolve this, we generalize this approach by proposing compound multi-regularized reconstruction, where we place a number of additional regularization terms both on the solution itself that is in the signal domain and also on the transformed value of that signal, where these functions phi are regularization functionals which are related to the constraints, to the additional constraints that we want to impose on the solution. Now, the math is quite complicated to solve for x, and I will briefly outline it here without going into details. What we do to solve this problem of finding x that minimizes this expression is designing algorithm based on alternating direction of multiplies, where we do variable splitting and then alternating optimization, and then we iterate until convergence. So there will be three terms that are iteratively updated, and one is the solution itself, the other one is the other two are related to the dual variables that are introduced. And specifically, we could show that since that first line related to x is a quadratic expression, we could explicitly solve it using the first expression on top here, and then the second expression where we solve for the dual variables that we introduced, actually that second line here, it can be shown, it's in the paper, it decomposes into a set of independent subproblems which could be solved in parallel. Unfortunately, even with the additional regularization terms, we don't do that well, and this graph illustrates that. Where on the x-axis, I show the node index, we are looking at a 50-node graph, and on the y-axis, I show these functions that we are trying to estimate. So the blue, the red value represent the original, the green value, the blue value represent the estimated values of the function if we don't put any additional regularization constraints. And the green value represent the proposed solution where we consider that these function values can be only non-negative and, you know, they can sum up to one. Well, we consider that we have multiple content items of interest, so our preferences actually represent probabilities over this set of content items. So we could show that for some values, we are doing well, and we could estimate the function closely, but for some values we simply underperform significantly. And even more noticeably is the fact that, for example, as I outlined it here, that this conventional regularization doesn't work because without the extra constraints we could estimate even values that are negative. As a transform here, we use the graph wave transform from this paper that's cited here. And we assume that we know the function value is 25% of the nodes, and then the rest of the nodes do not have this function value available. But this is expected because doing this graph transform-based estimation, there is an underlying assumption that the spectrum of the function on the graph is smooth. That means there is a small number of coefficients that are significant, and then the function value decays as a function of the coefficient index, which is shown here. So if you show the reconstructed value of the function using this graph-based methods, we could see that the spectrum is quite smooth. But we actually, if you take a look at the actual value of the spectrum, it doesn't follow that behavior. So using off-the-shelf graph transforms doesn't provide a good solution for this problem. And another thing is that the function is the estimation is sensitive to the choice of this subset v sub zero, and that's because the function is orthonormal and is not redundant. So the underlying assumption that this graph wavelet and any like graph transform tries to take into account is that the function is smooth. So I would like to conclude at this point stating that I have presented two algorithms for the recovery of signals on social graphs with a variety of implications. I mentioned that I will talk briefly about how do we do compared to state of the art in the computer science community. We observe that we do 20 to 80% better in terms of prediction error and the variation of that error relative to those works which estimate a set of features and use the network autocorrelation model. And we believe that that's due to two reasons. The first one is they tend to consider the social influence as a factor of all the of all the members of the social community, which we believe can introduce a certain amount of noise in our estimation, whereas if we do things locally within each neighborhood. And computing features is not always easy, and I believe that it has influenced the authors of tying the performance of their algorithm too much to the specific data that they use. In our case, the convergence of algorithm is simply influenced by the social graph, that is its spectrum. Unfortunately, as we saw when we do sparse reconstruction, coming from the compressed sensing community, we are still lacking a good graph transform to do this type of estimation, and we also need to figure out how to better map this function on the graph to take better advantage of the graph transform. So I will conclude with some acknowledgements. Thank you. No problem.
Seven?
Oh, no, pardon.
Sorry, next one.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, here. So you know these W's?
Yes.
You know, so you are computing local averages?
Yes.
So then the value of the function would be the average of the neighborhood?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, at each iteration.
But then, let's say, if I live in a neighborhood, let's say, where I have two people that have 100% preference for a particular topic.
Yes.
Then the average, and then I have a neighborhood of three, then it goes down, let's say, to 33%.
But it's normal as to one. So like I take their preferences and I say my preferences are tied to the preferences of my neighbors, and they are also proportional to these ways describing how similar we are or not.
So not
to the no. I'm sorry, I didn't. Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So let's continue. Fourth speaker is here. Okay.